I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio,
on WGR.
All right, rolling along into the 5 o'clock hour we go. Thanks for tuning in today. Mike Shope has the day off, along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog. Happy to welcome the song and the man. Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline. Sal, how did your gig in Lockport go last night?
It was fun. It was great. Raised some money. You know, it was great. The only thing that what happened was I was behind the bar guest bartending, and it was a great time. And then I noticed suddenly that Aaron Judge hit a 60-second home run. I didn't see it live. I'm like the guy who watches every Yankee game. Like, it's always on, and yeah. I've been dialed into this and, like, literally missed 62. It's okay. It was for a great cause, but that was pretty cool. It went really well, and we'll have a couple more of those things coming up. I'll be at the New York Beer Project in near Rochester at the end of the month. If anybody who's listening out that way, you know, wants to come by and say hi.
It's quite a scene at that New York Beer Project on Transit in Lockport. And I'm glad to hear it went well. I missed you. I don't know if you made it. I know you had a high school game on Friday to Nate's thing at Thin Man. I was there, but, you know, I turned pumpkin early in my old age. I got to get home by 10 o'clock or so. So I got out of there, and I don't know if you made it out there or not. I know you had said you were hoping.
So I was in Hamburg for that high school game that we called, and I was on my way, and I left. It was a little after 10, and I texted John Scott, and I said, "Are you still there?" He said, "No, I had to leave because he had to get up for a flight to Baltimore in the morning." He said, you know, that there were people there, but it started to thin out, and I'm like, okay, well, by the time I get home, it's going to be closer to 11, so I'm like you, buddy, right? I'm going to be 50 in April, so I'm like, I'll just go home.
Right. Well, we'll make an effort to support you and Nate all through October here. Real Men Wear Pink, right, is where
yeah,
we're at
yeah,
I
appreciate that for sure. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So start with the injuries. We'll get into some other conversations here, hopefully. You know, long list again, but I don't know. Are you feeling like things are going in a positive direction, or are we lateral? Like, what is happening? It's just a long list again.
It's a great question and way to put it, because, I think even though it's seven players listed as DNP with injury related issues, I feel kind of better right now than maybe last week or the week before. And I think it's just some clues on how guys have progressed, what's happened with them, on top of what Sean McDermott said today. And I think it's really important what he said today, Bulldog. What he said was that, you know, they're kind of right at the edge of balancing out, you know, what to do here with the number of players that are, you know, injured and banged up and having to have productive practices. And he added something about you don't want to lose a player in practice either, right? If something like that happens, then, you know, you got to really adjust. So I'm thinking they're being super cautious with some guys. Doesn't mean they don't have ailments, of course. But I think that they're going to take it a little bit slower and make sure that they can really get through the week doing what they need to do efficiently, game plan-wise, practice-wise, by making sure they back off on these guys. I mean, they had seven players DNP with injury-related issues, and they still gave three other players a vet rest day. So that's a clue to me that they're just making really good sure that they got players available and no one turns an ankle at practice, and yet another guy that has to be accounted for.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like they've got so many injuries that guys who maybe aren't that seriously injured are being told to take it easy so that they don't get actually injured. Right? Is that kind of what you're
100%.
Saying? 100%. Paraphrase.
Yes, right? That is exactly right. And look, I mean, let's take I don't know, like, I think tomorrow will be a really good key indicator for everybody, but Tremaine Edmonds was out today with a hamstring injury. Like, he finished the game. I know that there was nothing that I knew about that was reported to me about anything on the sidelines. I know Jordan Poyer did get hurt in the game, like on the play where he had the interception. The defense didn't have to go back on the field. So would he have played? I don't know. But he did hurt his ribs on that play. So, you know, we'll get an indication. Maybe there is something there, but it also could be, hey, these guys are feeling a little bit sore, tight, whatever. Dawson Knox is a good example. He's been on the injury report the last couple of weeks, but he's also played the last couple of weeks. Same thing with Gabe Davis, who told me afterwards in the locker room that he feels 100%. Now, he might just be saying that to, you know, exude confidence, but he's also played, even though we know he's been a little bit banged up.
Yeah, I you know, Sal, I don't do a lot of this, but I've seen some clips, like sort of isolating Davis or you know, coaches film views of Davis running routes in particular from the Baltimore game. And to me, he looked hindered.
Yeah.
And comparing that to some clips I saw from practice today, I thought he looked better. And then seeing he was a full participant today made me feel like maybe that's close to right.
Agreed with that. I thought he looked better from what I saw at practice today as well. You know, I think the wet field at Baltimore, obviously, too, you know, you got to be careful. Maybe every step has to be a little bit more deliberate, you know, on what you have to do. We have some dry weather here, so that's really good, I think, for him to maybe get a little bit better and get a little bit right. But you're right, Bulldog. I mean, and a day where they are doing this, you know, they had a guy that he was a full participant, which is good. I think at Oliver, they've kind of taken the longer approach here, it seems like. I think he moved a little bit better today, I think it seemed like. He was a limited participant. And then Jordan Phillips, just getting him back in any capacity, that might be the one where maybe he's not quite going to be ready. It is a hamstring. They always kind of want to be careful with that. But even he was back on a limited basis. So I think, yeah, I think the overall point here is that, you know, you asked about, and I agree with, you know, even though they have a really large list, I'm actually feeling pretty encouraged about a lot of them.
Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline with us here on WGR. How about Isaiah McKenzie? Did McDermott not say early in the day when he met with you guys that he would be limited, and it turns out he didn't participate? Is there any reason to be concerned there other than, like, what we already know, which is that he's in the concussion protocol?
I would say no. No extra reason, considering that we saw him on the field walking around and having a good time with his position guys, like smiling and laughing and talking. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like they kept him away from the outside and practice and things like that. Like, if that had happened, if we didn't see him, I'd be like, okay, maybe there was something that went on and McDermott didn't know, or maybe after he spoke to us and they're like, hey, we can't put this guy out there. To me, it's just, hey, they anticipated maybe a limited participation, but let's go back to, you know what, let's be careful here. Let's be cautious. Concussion, we got a lot of injuries here. He can practice in the concussion protocol. We know that. Ryan Bates did last week, and he played. But no, McDermott told us he would practice limited. He didn't practice, but he was out there, and he was having fun and, you know, joking around with his teammates on the sideline.
I know there's no straight line when it comes to, you know, Ryan Bates' concussion and comparing it to Isaiah McKenzie's concussion. It's just not the way it works. But, yeah, I feel like Bates limited early in the week. By Friday, no designation. And I don't know. I guess I want to choose to be optimistic about McKenzie because I think losing him and Crowder in the same week could be tough.
Very much so, especially with Jake Kumerow already down. We know that he's probably not going to play. We knew that was high ankle sprain that, you know, McDermott had talked about. And then we have the Tavon Austin situation that happened today. So in case people don't know, what I reported this morning, a leak source told me that the Bills and Tavon Austin mutually agreed to part ways. And he was not happy with his lack of opportunity to see the field. So that clues me in what it tells me. And I don't know this part of it for sure, but I have a good sense of, with all these injuries happening, maybe he was expecting to be activated this week, and they told him that's not going to happen. So he figured, okay, then what am I doing here? Right? So to compound what you're talking about with McKenzie and Crowder, you would have Tavon Austin as an option normally. That's not going to happen anymore. He's not on the team. He's not in the organization. He's gone. Yeah. So that's not an option. Now, obviously, it is going to be Khalil Shakir who's going to be returning punts. We know that. But he's really kind of the last man. Micah Hyde's not obviously available even to return, right? So I think the return situation is a little interesting here as we go forward, given what we know about these injuries and situations.
Yeah, I the way you just said that, I sort of probed around and took a guess at what happened with Austin, and it's exactly the same as yours. It might be pretty obvious, but it also might be a clue that they think McKenzie's going to be okay.
Agreed with that. It also could be a clue that maybe Isaiah Hodgins gets elevated if they need somebody later in the week.
Right. Right, because I think what if you're Austin, right, and two slot receivers come out of a game with injuries, yep. one goes on IR, the other is in concussion protocol, you're thinking, okay, well, I'm a punt returner and I'm a slot guy and I'm experienced, so this is my turn. And if it doesn't come, then I think, like, you know, my guess would be that he said, can you guys just get me out of here? I want to see if I can go yeah. somewhere where I'm not going to be stuck in this logjam. So, like, hopefully that's all right and McKenzie can play. But Shakir, Sal, like, I think you know this. Like, I've loved him from the minute they drafted him. Everything that we read and heard about him after the draft, how he played in the preseason, 13 targets, 13 catches, two big plays, impactful plays in the game on Sunday. I feel like when he gets called on, he's going to be there for them.
Yeah, I really do too, Bulldog. I thought he would maybe have an impact right away week one. I thought he could play a role. I thought he'd be the main punt returner. How many of us were surprised he was inactive week one? Remember, we were talking that day. I'm in L.A., you guys are here, and we're talking about Khalil Shakir, and then suddenly he's inactive. We're like, oh, that's really interesting. They trot Crowder out there as a punt returner. By the way, great job by Crowder. He's done mm-hmm. a really good job as a punt returner. He's actually, like, I think, top 10 in the league in punt return average. He's made good decisions. He's caught the ball. So I think they made the right decision instead of going with the rookie, but now it is the rookie's time, and it's his turn because he's going to get this opportunity, and I'm super excited. And I also think, here's the other thing. I think the changes that we've kind of seen from this offense a little bit more of a underneath passing game, mm-hmm. get the ball in the hands of guys. That is his game. Like, we saw it against the Ravens. He had that tunnel screen. It made the really nice move. Keeps both hands on the ball. Gets the extra yardage. Like, to me, I think Khalil Shakir can be a very productive player for this team now, and I think he's in for a long career. Funny story today, and I didn't mean to, like, it kind of came off as I was doing it to, like, tease people or have some sort of reaction on Twitter, and I didn't. I was just trying to get a feel and tell everybody what it was like in real time for us. So we're watching practice media, and Shakir is returning punts during the special teams portion. Well, I see him go inside because they're outside. I see him go inside with Sam Martin and Tyler Bass and Reed Ferguson. So I didn't think much of it, but he doesn't come out. And then about 10 minutes later, a bunch of the media were like, where's Khalil Shakir? And all the receivers are running routes, and they're catching passes, and it's individual. And we're like, I don't know. I'm like, well, I saw him go inside. Go inside, he's not there. We look inside the field house, he's not there. So what I tweeted was, after the special teams portion, when we saw him, none of us could find him. We didn't know what was going on. We were all actually concerned. We find out later, he told us he went inside the stadium to return punts. To get used to returning him from inside the stadium. Not a windy day today, uh-huh. but he's trying to get ready for actually returning punts inside the stadium. So, obviously, there's the heightened, oh, my God, you're already down these guys. Where is this guy? We yeah. find out later, right? So, I tried to play that out, and I wrote the tweet like that. This is what happened. And people said, oh, my God, why did you scare me like that? I didn't mean to. What I was trying to do was give you a sense of what we were going through.
Right. Yeah, people don't read the entirety of long right. threads, Sal. Like, so if the first thing is like breaking and like we can't find right panic time.
Right,
that's
yes.
how it's going to be. Well, yeah, I mean the punt return piece, maybe that's the shakiest part of all of this for me. Like I just haven't seen him do it that much, Shakir, right? And Crowder, like you said, has been good and dependable. And you even mentioned, like, Hyde not being available. Like, I wonder if they had the choice, right? With Crowder down, but if Hyde mm-hmm. were still around, whether they would just sort of err on the side of caution, for lack of a less sloppy way to put it, and just get the guy that they know they can count on to make the right decision and catch the ball, as opposed to the rookie. Because I like him in the offense. I hope everything goes okay with the punt return part of this for him.
Had a really good conversation with him, which included this whole thing about going to the stadium after a practice today in the locker room. And I asked him, I said, I know that, you know, McDermott's made a point before that catching the ball and securing the ball is like the number one thing here in Buffalo, especially on punt returns. And he said, yeah. And he said, being a good decision maker, right? He said, that's the message from Coach McDermott, which is catch the ball, secure it, but make good decisions. You don't have to catch it. You can let it bounce, but it's got to be a good decision, however you do it. Mm-hmm. Right. And then what he said was, make sure we have a chance to have the ball in Josh Allen's hands, right? Like, that's my job, to make sure I don't do something that takes the ball out of Josh Allen's hands, which I think is a great kind of way to put it and think about. So that's really interesting. There is another part of this that we're going to talk about as it goes on. It's not yet. Marquez Stevenson is eligible to come off IR. Like, at some point, do they do that? At some point, do they say, we want Shakir to be a part of the offense. We could take some off his plate. We can put Marquez Stevenson out there to return. Because I think that's the reason he's still on this team, is because they believe he can be an NFL punt returner and he would provide, you know, the speed and the breakaway ability that really Shakir doesn't have, even though he's smart and can make good decisions and handle the ball right. So I wonder down the road if we're having this conversation.
Right. Didn't McDermott say that he, Stevenson, is not particularly close to being able to practice?
I think that's right. But this is something maybe later in the year. Remember, last year was Thanksgiving night, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was the first time they did this. So I just wonder if down the road, if Shakir's giving you more on offense and Stevenson is ready, do they have a decision to make if they want to do that to allow Shakir to kind of be a little bit more involved in the offense and take some off his plate? But for the meantime, you're right. It's not necessarily anything, but we know injuries pop up around too. Does Shakir have to take on a larger role? Is there another injury, anything like that, that could be interesting here? So yeah, but as of right now, Stevenson is eligible to come off IR, but we don't expect that to happen anytime soon.
One other injury thing, and we waited till the very end here. Tre'Davious White was eligible to practice today. He didn't. Surprised, disappointed, some mix of both. Like, where are you at on Tre'Davious White and his recovery from
Not surprised. I think this organization, I'll tell you, I give him credit. I do for this. I think that every single thing that has to do with this injury, they are doing what's in the best interest of Tre'Davious White and not just to put him on the field to win football games, right? I mean, it seems like that to me, that they are not going to jeopardize this young man's health or the future of him playing football for the Bills in 2023, 2024, later on in 2022, playoffs, whatever. I think there can that can happen. Look, Chris Godwin injured his ACL, I think, after Tre'Davious, came back and injured his hamstring pretty well. Mm-hmm. Like, these things happen. I think the Bills have intentionally slow played this to make sure that he can get as healthy as possible and say, that is the most important thing. We will coach everybody up and do our best with what we have and not say we got to have Tre'Davious out there and risk something with him.
And in the meantime, despite injuries, even to one of the replacement players, Christian Benford, all we've seen is the Bills' secondary and their corners specifically be excellent. So they've gotten by, or more than gotten by, with Dane Jackson and Kyir Elam. Of course, Benford did play until last week before, you know, he got hurt in the Miami game, right? And eventually White will come back. Right, so they're going to be pretty flush. Like, a position of concern has become a strength, and White's still not even practicing yet.
It's really incredible. Now, look, maybe the real test comes a week from Sunday at Kansas City, right? Maybe that's when you really kind of see what you have in this group. But Bulldog agreed completely. Like, before the season, a month and a half ago, it's, what are they going to do here corner? Like, they got some young guys, they're inexperienced. Kyir Elam's not having the best camp for a first round pick. Then you lose Micah Hyde, right? And a couple games into the season, man, they have just been really good. Whatever water the secondary in Buffalo drinks, I think they should just bottle it up and sell it to every other organization in the league, because these guys know how to coach it, they know how to scout it, they know how to develop it, and it's been really good so far. And I also think it's interesting that they still only have three active safeties on the roster. They haven't made a move. I'm wondering if, does one of these guys, like Benford, start to get some run there when he comes back to allow everybody to play? I mean, I don't know. I'm not predicting that happens. I'm just saying that it's super interesting to me, because, like, does Benford even get his job back from Kyir Elam the way he's played since he's been in there? Dane Jackson's played so well. I don't know what happens.
I know this is going to sound insane, completely insane, but the thought you just had about Benford, I'm going to tell you I had it about Tre'Davious White.
Like playing safety?
Do they ease him in? I don't know. It might have been the middle of the night, Sal. I mean, I'm not going to write about it. I'm a little embarrassed. Right. I'm even mentioning it on the air, but, like, I had the thought. Like, Could they do something like that?
Here's the issue, sort of like you do with linemen,
we want to get our best five on the field kind of thing.
Hey, look, I mean, to preserve his health, like, that's not a horrible idea. I think the issue you would have with that is these safeties, because of them being so interchangeable in the system, have to both be able to be physical in the box sometimes. That's not Tre'Davious White.
Right.
And I don't think you want to put him in that position, right? I mean, you'd want him to be a ball-hawking center fielder if you ever put him in that position.
Yep.
But then you're taking Jordan Poyer away from maybe what he does best, right? So I think that would be the issue. Mm-hmm. I do wonder about easing him in, though. I wonder, like, how that looks when he comes back. Yeah, I mean, they have a really good situation. Aside from what this could turn into after this year, which we shouldn't even talk about or worry about right now because that's a great problem to have, but it might be actually something to think about what they're going to do. I don't know. When they're all healthy, it is arguably the best, deepest secondary in the league, and that is without Micah Hyde.
Really remarkable. Really. Let's call it on that. All right, Sal, thank you very much for this. Sorry we were so late coming in. I don't know how to tell time, apparently. Apparently.
Thanks,
it's obvious. All right, man. Thanks for your time. We'll touch base tomorrow and surely Friday as well.
You got it.
There's Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline. His appearances here on WGR, always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? We'll pick up on some of what we've been talking about here. Had some really good conversation earlier in the show about the way the Bills are playing on offense and what the big picture plan is with that in mind. May revisit that as we go. Don't forget Paul Hamilton at the top of the hour on the Sabres. They have their final preseason game on Friday in Pittsburgh. They played and won again at home last night. Regular season opens a week from tomorrow at home against Ottawa. So Paul Hamilton coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Mike Schopes away today. I am the Bulldog along with Zach Jones, and you are listening to WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.